Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Brother Doug Levesque is with us, and Doug is a close friend. And so I'm giving him the pulpit in absolute confidence that you're going to hear the Word of God. There's nothing I wouldn't do for him. There's nothing he wouldn't do for me. So we go through life doing nothing one for another.
Thank you so much, Pastor. Has anybody ever got up here and preached for 3 hours? He said there's nothing he wouldn't do for me. So. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 11. Good morning, everyone. Well, I was excited to preach to you today another message on Christ's love. And I want to speak to you about resurrection and resurrection power. Amen. The resurrection is a central tenet to Christianity, right? And not a resurrection of just anybody. There's actually a dozen accounts in the Bible of resurrection. There's several in the Old Testament. The Shunammite woman's son, right? Elijah and Elisha. Elijah's bones raised a man from the dead. And then Jesus raised a number of people from the dead. Jairus' daughter. And then when he was resurrected, a bunch of saints in Jerusalem were resurrected. He promises in the future that the rapture is a resurrection. And then at the end of the tribulation, there's what they call tribulation or resurrection saints that are resurrected into the millennial age as well. Peter and Paul, both through the power of Christ, were able to, through them, utilize the power of God, resurrection power, and they raised both Tabitha, some know her as Dorcas, and then Eutychus. So there's a number of accounts of resurrection throughout the Bible. It's a central tenet of God that death is not the end. By the way, even though you're sitting here alive or you're out there listening somewhere, the Bible still says if you're without Christ, you're dead. You're dead in trespasses and sins, and you need to be reborn. Born again, Jesus said. You need to be quickened, reanimated. He's the one that can animate you and take you from death to life where you sit. Hallelujah. Boy, we're in just strange Wild West days, aren't we? I'm hosting our state's independent party's annual meeting here next weekend at the church. And then in April, the National Constitution Party is the only party that declares Jesus Christ as Lord. Amen. And we're hosting that as well. But I'll tell you what, people say, what's happening next? And I'll tell you, I don't know. Neither does anybody else. It's Wild West days. And you know what? That works for Independent Baptists. Wild West, no problem. We can handle that. Amen. Because we know who's really in charge. And it's just really interesting to kind of sit back and watch and still get involved. But beloved, the most important thing is that we understand God's love for us and the resurrection power that's central, a central tenet of our faith, and that we don't have to wait till we die of COVID to get our resurrection power. That's the proposition today, that you have resurrection power right now if you're born again, if you have the Lord Jesus Christ, if you believed in him, you have resurrection power right now. Let's look at the life of Lazarus. John chapter 11, verse 1. Now, I'm going to go fast, okay, because I want to get through all the sermon notes so that I can have a little bit of time for application, all right? And it'll be good if you just hold on. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary, which anointed the Lord with ointment, had and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sister said unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou, what's the word? He whom thou lovest is sick. So according to this, Jesus loved Lazarus. When Jesus heard that, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha. He what? He loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Twice the Bible's telling us that God, Jesus, loved Lazarus. He loved the sisters. He loved Lazarus. When he heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Now, why didn't he go right away? Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples saying to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. You see, he loved Lazarus. He loved Lazarus. Lazarus was his friend. And the testimony of scriptures is that God loves you. God loves you. And God really made you with the opportunity to be his friend. Amen. Hallelujah. Forget all this thumbs up Facebook friend stuff. Amen. Amen. That's a wrongly defined deception of the way of friendship. You got to be friends with God. I told my boys, I love you. I'm your dad. I'll always be your dad. But when you grow up, I would like to be your friend. But my friends love my God. And so boys always said, if we're going to be dad's friend, we got to love God. Amen. Little motivation. Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. He loved him. He loved him. He wanted to be his friend, but he waited, and Lazarus was now dead. No confusion here. There was confusion, but now there's no confusion. Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent that ye may believe. Why did he wait and let him die? Because he knew he was going to resurrect him. And why did he want to resurrect him? Because that sparks belief. How many believe in God? How many believe in Jesus Christ? Amen. Wave your hanky. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me tell you this. The apostle said, increase our faith. You can believe yet more and more. It only takes a mustard seed to be saved and inherit heaven. But you can believe yet more and more until your belief is unfathomable and nobody could ever convince you. Your own experiences cannot convince you that God loves you, that God loves you, and that you have his resurrection power in you. That ye may believe, nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. You see, to go back into Judah was a death sentence. And Thomas at this point wasn't yet a doubter. He was like, come on, guys. If he's going to die, we're going to die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Whew. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Jesus did love Lazarus. And what greater thing to preach than God's love for you on Valentine's Day? Hallelujah. He used this grand display of resurrection power to show his love, to prove to Thomas and Mary and Martha, who at times thought that they were forgotten, that they were part of this love story too. Hallelujah. See, Jesus loves you just the same. And he intends to make you his friend forevermore. And he intends to give you life forevermore. Resurrection power. Verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. But Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Hallelujah. Yeah. Believest thou this? Believest thou this? Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Listen, whoever's listening, who's ever watching, wherever you are in this county, across this state, beloved, wherever you are, you can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and he will give you this resurrection power. You must say, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. God promised it from the beginning. It was a plan from before the beginning. And he's executing it even today. And untold millions of every color, every stripe, every language are coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe in resurrection power? Resurrection power is available. The same power that Christ used to raise himself from the dead. The same power that Elijah and Elisha had to raise the dead, that Peter and Paul had to execute the raising of the dead. The same power here being set up in Lazarus' life and then death. This is not something that's of antiquity. This is not something that's a rare commodity. This is the economy of God, life everlasting and resurrection life. And he wants everybody to know it. And he wants everyone to believe it. And he wants the fact of it to spur on and motivate us to live for him and to have faith, even in times of COVID. Yep. Even in times where our beloved country, our Constitution Republic, seems to be fraying. And a change that we know not of, actually we do know what the change is going to be, is a coming. To not be afraid, but then to dig deep by faith. And to understand that resurrection power is enough. It will see us through. Martha did believe, but Mary, the other sister, was not so sure. And it continues, and when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the master has come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her. He groaned in the spirit. He who knew exactly what this narrative was before he wrote the narrative. He knew when he was sick that he was going to die. He knew when they held off that he was going to go here and raise him for the dead. He knew when the sisters came and cried out to him. He knew the groaning of the spirit regarding death. He knew the uncertainty of COVID, of America, of economy. God knows those things. And he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said unto him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. He loved Lazarus. He loved Lazarus. Lazarus was his friend. He knew that he had power for him. He knew that he was going to raise him from the dead. And yet he wept. He loves you. He knows who you are. But he loves you. He groans in the spirit. Tears can water out of his eyes. He knows who he is. He knows what he's going to offer you. He knows what you can have. He knows how bright the future is. And yet he weeps for you. Beloved, I've been near death a couple of times in my life. First time I was in Alaska, I was 19 years old, I was working on a fishing boat. To be efficient, work on a fishing boat, you have to get certified. It means you have to have safety training. You know how dangerous it is. There are safety belts and safety harnesses, and wherever you go, you click where you're walking. And I was out in the northern Pacific, and we're getting ready to fish, and one of my harnesses broke or unclipped or something, and a wave came, and I went over the edge. And I'm over the edge, there's 5 or 6 feet there, and I'm in the water, out of the water, in the water, out of the water, as the waves are moving me. And I'm terrified. I know what that means. You only have minutes if it grabs you. And fishing boats can't turn around. There's not enough time for a fishing boat to turn around and get you if you come off. It's a death sentence. And so first I'm panicked. I can't even scream. And then I scream like a little girl, like a wild banshee, like an animal that's injured in the woods. Wah! And it seemed like minutes, but I'm sure it was just a seconds. And the crew came and got me. And you can imagine how tough a fishing crew is. No sympathy, right? But they came and got me, and I was already frigid. I was already cold, and they came and they got me, and they took me inside where the stove was, and they sat me down, and I was shaking, and I was afraid, and I was crying uncontrollably. Now I was a man, but I was crying uncontrollably because I had just experienced death. And even those old, crusty, cusser fishermen, they hugged me. Even they had tears for me. And I sat there till I could get my nerve again. I had, in the process, I had hooks and I had cuts and I had broken a hand and in the process of that. And so I'm sitting there, and they didn't complain about me not working that day. They let me recover. Now, beloved, you go through something like that, you surrender to go to the ministry. I do not want to be a fisherman. Amen. Another time I was climbing, and we were just rock climbing. Bunch of guys, my first time. Of course, you're a young stud, no problem. Until you get somewhere where you can no longer go left, right, up, down, you're stuck. For hours. Again, yelling, "Help! Guys!" They're like, "Where are you at?" And I'm trying to tell them, "I'm on this little pillar, there's a green colored rock, and we don't see you." I'm like, "Get down here and help me, where are you at?" And I sat there, and if I moved left, I struggled to hold, and I had my legs and my arms wrapped around this rock for an hour. Almost certain death. They finally risked themselves to come down and grab me, and I was frozen, and they had to get me down, and again I was quaking like unto death. The third time was last year. I had a number of health issues. I've had to deal with those, and I had a couple kidney surgeries. Had to wait for the kidney surgery, so I had to suffer waiting for the kidney surgeries because of COVID. And while I was in the hospital, guess what I got? I had quarantined, wasn't going anywhere, but I went to the hospital and I got COVID. I was in the ICU. I had 3 different IVs in. I had 45% oxygen in one lung. I had 100% oxygen. I had the leg wraps pumping my legs. They had me on my chest. They had my head down. So I was like this. I had all those I had electrical leads on my chest and on my back. I was a mess. I didn't have my wife. They had a phone. They said, "You can call whoever you want," but I was already out of my mind. How am I going to use the phone? The nurse call button didn't work. The lights didn't work. Probably don't want to go to the Owosso ICU. I don't know what I'm taking, but I signed off on a ventilator. I signed off on blood transfusions. I knew what that meant at that point in time. This was probably August. I was laying there upside down, and I'm just sick, and I don't know if I'm going to explode, throw up. I'm just so sick, and I'm crying out for the nurses to help. It's dark. It's like I'm crucified upside down. I was on so many blood thinners that blood was just streaming down my arms, off the bed and onto the floor. And I just thought, well, this really could be it. This really could be it. But this time, you know what? I didn't shake. I called for the nurses a couple times, but not with a banshee scream. This time I thought, well, I'm ready. This is ugly. This is horrible. This is lonely. This is dark. This is a taste of death. But I started to giggle. Oh, death, where is thy victory? Amen. I started to realize, God, are you enjoying this? I'm sure Tim Rader was enjoying it. Oh. God, you're allowed to enjoy me. I enjoy you. You're allowed to have me, use me. You're allowed to enjoy me. You're allowed to use me for humor. You're allowed to do whatever you want with me. And instantly I was reminded that I already have a resurrection power. Amen. I've already been to death. I've already overcome death. I'm as Lazarus. Bring it on. His compassion for you is real. Even though Jesus knew what he was about to do, and even though he knew the reality of Lazarus' resurrected life was about to be fully realized, he still wept. And I think the Lord wept for me because he loved me. I felt his love and compassion. It was though he was standing there next to me. And this is the point. Lazarus becomes synonymous with Jesus and the resurrection life, not in his own power, by his own goodness, but by the power of Christ alone. Verse 37. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead for 4 days. I think in the UP here, you could be dead all winter, and you probably wouldn't stink. You'd probably be all right. And he saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said that they may believe thou hast sent me. You see, his plan for you is spectacular. Yes. He intends even through your suffering for people to see and believe. Yep. Hallelujah. Lazarus would have been just fine without a resurrection. Lazarus, without a resurrection, would not have complained. In fact, later, I wonder if he would have said, Lord, why didn't you just let me go? Verse 43, and when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Lazarus arose. He was unbound from the grave clothes and let go. Death has no hold on you. His sisters must have shrieked with delight. Oh, sisters. The crowd must have audibly gasped, then cheered. He's alive! Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead! Imagine a manly embrace between the friends. Lazarus may have believed in Jesus before, but now, it was beyond belief. Amen? It was so real that it almost wasn't faith. Amen? Now there was no denying it. His own eyes would have pierced into Jesus' own gaze. The silent understanding was even greater than the crowd's cheers. Lazarus now knew that in reality he would never die. He was alive forevermore. He had tasted death and spit it out of his mouth. Life was never so sweet. The rest of John chapter 11 shows that this was the final straw for the unbelieving Jews. Jesus could no longer be seen in public without risk of arrest and execution. But he already knew that. His business was to resurrect and make such a thing possible for all who believe. It was a grand show. They determined to kill him and decreed that anyone who knew his whereabouts should tell them immediately. Lazarus was also soon to be on the fugitive list. As badly as the rebellious Jews wanted to take and kill Jesus, they earnestly sought out Lazarus as well. Lazarus was a firsthand witness to the power of Jesus and his own trip to the afterlife. Lazarus could tell the true account of death, everlasting life after death, and even more dangerous to the chief priests, the reality of a resurrection life perspective. While many flocked to hear the amazing insights of Jesus and Lazarus and how they should live their lives, angry religious leaders raged over the very same supernatural accounts. And then chapter 12, verse 9. Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only. They came not for Jesus' sake only. But they might see Lazarus also. You see, you're a miracle. People need to see you. People need to see your new life, your new attitude, your new sparkle. Amen? Your new confidence. They need to see that as well. But whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. Because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away. And what? By reason of Lazarus and his resurrection power and his life after death. Why, he was as attractive as Jesus. He was also as repelling as Jesus. And people wanted to know what he had to say. And people came to Jesus because of Lazarus. And they believed on Jesus. Wow. Wow. This is why I'm saying that resurrection power, we have to realize that it's not something that's just a hope in our death. It's something that we have right now.
Yes.
Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use and persecute you. Matthew 5, 11. Luke 21, but before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and the prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. John 15, 20, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Woo. Romans chapter 12, verse 14, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. This is a knife I got from old Doc Green. He's actually given me two. I've got two knives old Doc Green's given me because he loves me. And I'm a man, so I keep a knife in my pocket, right, guys? I notice a lot of these UP girls have knives in their pockets, too. So, amen? Debbie, raise your hand. Hallelujah. Okay. let's say that I'm representing the Lord Jesus Christ, and I have resurrection power. It's mine to give. It doesn't come from anywhere else. I'm the one that has it. I'm the one, and I love you. And I love you, and I want you to be my friend. And I've got a plan for you. And I weep for you, even though I know I got this plan for you, because I love you so much. And when you die, this resurrection power is going to give you life everlasting. But that's not really the plan. The plan is, can you catch, brother? It's not open, okay? But I'm going to toss this knife at you. Okay, here you go. Well, my plan is that as the Lord Jesus Christ, you're Lazarus, and I love you, and I'm giving you resurrection power. Now, resurrection, Lazarus dies. He goes to the other world. He goes to the underworld. He sees Hades. He sees the abode of the dead. He sees heaven. He sees what's getting ready to happen. He sees the perspective of devils and angels. He sees the perspective of the dead. He sees the perspective of Abraham and his bosom and the great goal fixed. And he sees all of that, and he realizes that that is more a reality than living with my sisters.
Yes.
Amen? He understands really and truly that Jesus was probably weeping because he's saying, oh, Lazarus, you're seeing what I really have for you. Yeah. And Lazarus gets it, and he comes back to life. And you know what? Now, he ain't afraid of nothing. He ain't afraid of anybody.
Right.
He ain't afraid of no lines where you can Judah go and where you can't go. And people that, and if anybody wants to come and talk to him, he says, let me tell you about this place.
Amen.
Let me tell you about this Jesus.
Amen.
So it wasn't just a resurrection power that brought him back to life. It was something then that he lived with. And by the way, so did the people that Elijah and Elisha raised from the dead.
Yeah, right.
So did Dorcas and Eutychus. I mean, the example is all through the scriptures of people that had resurrection life. They went on the other side. They came back, and they lived with a different perspective. Mm-hmm. They lived with an understanding that nothing can stop me. God's got a plan. He loves me. I'm his friend. Nobody else even matters.
Sure. Yeah, right.
And my life now is going to be about telling people about that place.
Right.
It is so sweet. Amen.
Amen.
I've been up to Tequamanon Falls. Everybody loves Root Beer Falls. And you tell people, man, you got to go. It's a wonderful thing. You can walk around. You tell people about this place, and hopefully they'll have the same little magic. Walking, holding hands with your wife, the water coming down, looking at each other's eyes. And you want someone else to have that, so you tell them about that, right? And these guys all come with a different perspective, the perspective of resurrection power. Now, toss it back. I'll catch it. Now, here's the thing. It's not just something that's delivered at death. It's not just something that's going to be delivered to us at the rapture. You understand? It's something that when he quickened us, we were dead in trespasses and sin. And when we believed, Christ saved us. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He quickened us. That's a power. And that power is now in us. We have that power now. We may not have died and been on the other side to come back with the exact same perspective as these dozen or so examples in Scripture. We might not have Lazarus' direct perspective, but we have something better than experience. We have the Word of God. Amen. And the Word of God tells us about heaven, and it tells us about glory, and it tells us about eternity, and it gives us a picture of what it's going to be like. Right. Hallelujah, when I get to heaven, I'm going to find the Lord Jesus. I'm going to do more than shout and raise a hanky, amen? I'm going to do backflips. I'm so fat, I've never been able to do a backflip. But I'm going to do some backflips, amen? Brother Tim, we're going to find our chariots, and we're going to go, man, amen? We're going to go. I'm going to find the apostles and the prophets, and I'm going to talk to them. I'm going to see them. I'm going to see Josh Rader. Josh, man, we made it. We're here, brother. Hallelujah. We no longer have to work for your dad. Hallelujah. It's over. No more weeping. No more sorrow. No more poverty, amen? And we're going to say that. But then, guess what, beloved? Guess what? Ooh, I know there's no giving or taking of marriage in heaven. Amen. And there will be no more submission to man and woman and problems like that. But I tell you, I'm going to look across heaven. I'm going to see my wife. Oh, glory. Amen.
Amen.
We, in life, we were one flesh, made together to glorify God. Something that I couldn't do on my own. And so God said, you need a woman. And I'm going to see her. And although she will have been delivered and no longer need me or be under me, she might not even really be my wife. I'll know that she was. Because we'll be the bride of Christ together at that point in time. Amen. But as happy as I am to see everybody, I'm going to look across. I'm going to go, Amy, Amy! We lived together decades, and we bore children. We raised them for Christ, and we had this resurrection power perspective together. And we lived it and suffered it on earth together. But ultimately, we got there together.
Amen. That's right.
And oh, lady, I'm going to ask for a mansion next to yours. You might not want next to mine, but... Amen. I'm not a very good singer, but man, I'm going to sing then. Raise your hand, Amy. Raise your hinky. Okay. So, beloved, I know that we're going through it, and we're going to go through it some more. You're going to face death sometime, and then you're going to actually get there sometime, or else the trumpet's going to blow sometime. But I want you to know that that resurrection power is not for then, it's for now. And we have it.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And so let us have a Lazarus perspective. When they come to get us, when they mock us, when they jeer us, when they try to corral us or they try to put us down, amen?
Yeah,
I don't know. Lazarus ultimately either had to rapture at some point in time or else he died again. But I imagine he said, all right, today's the day. Yeah. Imagine whenever Lazarus getting up day was, he didn't even call it the day of his death. He just called it the day of finally.
Amen?
Amen?
Right.
The day of finally, because he had resurrection power. And when he got there, he said, all right, this is it. But when the day of your death comes, it needs to be the day of your finally.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
And it needs to be your getting up day. You have resurrection power in you by the blood of Jesus Christ,
amen,
by the presence of his Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And you can overcome anything, any opposition,
yes,
any enemy. Death itself is destroyed. And happy Valentine's Day. God loves you.
Amen.
He's moved with compassion for you. He sheds tears for you, tears of knowing your sorrow, but also tears of joy knowing what he wants to give you.
Yes,
if you're here today and you're not saved, quit being stubborn, man. Amen? Surrender, lady. Bend the knees of your will to God. Raise the hands of your heart in holy surrender and say, I surrender. I'm a sinner. I'm lost. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me and save me. That's his love. And if you're listening today, wherever you're at, just bend the knees of your will. Cry out, have mercy on me, a sinner. God will save you. He's got this same resurrection power for you.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast, when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.